Welcome to the Finding North podcast. I'm Chris Morris. This week's story is a drama called Marooned. Please enjoy. First of July. He's done it again. The rocks are gone. I know it's him. He says the sea must have swept them away, but I know he's lying. Why does it happen every day? And when I'm not looking, too. He doesn't want to be rescued, that's what it is. He wants to stay stuck on this damn island, starving, exhausted, the scorching sun biting at his skin until the day he dies. 6 months of arranging the SOS sign on the beach, and most days I wake up in the morning to find the rocks swept away. He didn't seem at all concerned about it when he told me this morning. He just sat at his usual place on his rock, smoking one of his cigars and staring out into the ocean. No shock, no worry. Larry has accepted his fate. Stranded here in this barren place with dwindling supplies from what was washed up in the wreck of our ship. He hasn't even bothered to learn to catch fish like I have. He hasn't learned to start a fire. He makes no effort to arrange the rocks so that we might be spotted by a passing plane. Nothing. And I dare not raise any issue with him for fear of falling out with the only human being that I know anymore. We can't keep going on like this. Something has to change. 3rd of July. You know what Larry said to me as I was forming the rocks this morning? He said, "What's the point anyway? We haven't spotted one plane the whole time we've been here." He's given up all hope, as I suspected. But why would he be so cruel and gutless as to ruin my chances of escape? If a rescue ship arrives tomorrow and he doesn't fancy getting on it with me, fine. He can stay here and I'll go home to Emma and our children. Why sabotage it for me? There was something else, too. I like to keep a fire blazing through the night, not because of the colds, it's warm enough at night, but in case a passing ship or plane might spot it. Last night, I woke up to find Larry pouring sand over it. He extinguished it completely and then we had a fight about it. "What on earth are you doing?" I shouted. "That fire might be the thing that gets me rescued." I confess I did indeed let the word "me" slip out, having lost any idea that Larry might have an ounce of hope left for his own rescue. "It's too hot," Larry said. His voice was drowsy. "I can't sleep with it blazing." "Then move away from it! Don't extinguish it!" But this was where our fight ended. With the fire out, we were surrounded in complete blackness except for what little light we could see by the moon. I heard Larry scramble back inside his salvaged sleeping bag, too hot indeed. And soon enough he was snoring. It was too dark to attempt to assemble a new fire by myself, so I lay awake and furious until dawn, when I marched off to rearrange those damn rocks again. He spent most of today resting in the shade of one of the desert willow trees. This is all he seems to do nowadays. He watched me as I caught more of the grouper fish with my improvised spear, nothing more than a sharpened branch. It's a wonder this hasn't disappeared yet. It's blunting a little. I may have to sharpen it with a rock. But how long can something like that be sharpened before it's nothing more than dust? I need to think of another way to catch the fish. Larry barely touched his portion, cooked on a fire built by me as he watched from his tree, and I confess I finished his meal when he went to sleep, throwing the bones into the lapping waves. I am so sick of the taste of fish. Larry is asleep in front of me as I write, my spear lying against the tree to my right. He's given up all hope. I wonder. Never mind. 9th of July. What have I done? 13th of July. I needed a few days to gather the courage to write. It might be important to detail exactly what happens in case I ever am rescued from this awful place. Larry's family. They ought to know what happened, I suppose. With only a few pages left of this notebook and no others found among the rubble of the ship, this may be the last thing I ever write. I caught him. Larry. I caught him doing something beyond my wildest of nightmares. I woke up just before dawn. The fire was once again extinguished, the smoke still drifting out of the wood and shrubbery at the bottom. Instinctively, I walked to the SOS sign, and to no surprise, I found it destroyed. I shouted out for Larry, but I didn't see him anywhere at first. But I soon spotted him, further up the beach. He wasn't alone. "Hey!" I cried out. Neither of them turns to me. Hello! Larry! I ran towards the pair of them and saw that their backs were turned. They were holding hands. It was Larry and a woman with long, dark, curled hair. Hair just like... Emma? The two of them turned to me. In their faces I saw nothing but an everyday sort of expression of regularity, as though my Emma being on this island was normal, as though her existence here without my knowing for 6 months was normal, as though Larry holding her hand and walking down the beach together was normal. I couldn't speak. I lunged towards Larry with the ferocity of an animal that has been trapped and mistreated, and then suddenly let loose. We hit the sand and my clenched fists drove into his face again and again. My face went redder than the scorching sun as it arrived over the horizon, and when I was able to form words, they were the most vile and hate-filled ones I could think of. It wasn't enough. I stood up and looked around me. Finding the biggest rock I could spot, I lifted it in both hands and slammed it down upon Larry's head. He stopped moving. All at once, a sort of coldness came upon me. I realised that I hadn't even turned to notice my wife's reaction to all of this. She wasn't there. Not even any footprints to indicate where she had gone. And then I saw what I had done. Larry lay as still as the bloody rock beside him. I sat upon the sand, my head in my hands, for a good hour or so, watching the sun rise above the ocean. Then I reassembled my SOS sign. I buried Larry at the foot of the sign the next morning. It's all right, son. You can drink as much as you like. Captain Alland patted the man on the shoulder. It was impossible to see most of his expression, buried underneath long hair and a wild beard that hadn't been properly cut in such a very long time. He had been sipping his water, not gulping it, as Alland thought he would. Lucky we spotted you, Alland said. We never come out this way. Navigation training exercise. Thought we'd go an unfamiliar way. No better way to teach getting unlost than to get properly lost first. The man took a few larger swigs of the water now, but he said nothing. What did you say your name was? A short pause. Then he said, John. John, the captain repeated. Well, welcome aboard. We'll get you to the mainland before sunset. This cabin will do you fine until then. We need you to get checked up in a proper hospital. I'm sure you'll understand. My men are working on finding some of your contacts now. They must have been worried sick. That or lost hope. 5 years you were marooned. How on earth did you survive? John looked from his empty glass to Alland, his eyes widened. 5 years? No, it's only been 6 months. Alland regarded John with confusion, finding it difficult to know what to say next. Yes, John, your ship was big news 5 years ago. Disappeared. Some of the wreckage washed up thousands of miles away. We never stopped searching. Surely you can't have thought it was only a few months. John's eyes remained wide, his mouth open. Alland stood up and made for the door. Anyway, we'd best anchor away. Wait, John cried. What about Larry? Did you find his body, where I said it was? Alland stopped. He looked back at John with as sympathetic eyes as he hoped he could manage. We looked for him, John, right where you said, at the bottom of the SOS sign. There was nothing there. Are you sure? John said. You looked exactly where I said, underneath the O. We even checked above the O, inside the O. Nothing there, John. My men dug around the entire sign. We scoured the whole island. Couldn't find any sign of this Larry. No sign at all. Looks like the sun got to you. No. John's desperate eyes remained glued to Alan's. I didn't make him up. I couldn't have. His name was Larry. He was on the ship with me. He had a dog back home, a Labrador. He smoked cigars every day. Cigars? Captain Alland said. But where would he have been getting cigars from for the last 5 years? Now John's eyes lost some of their fire. He sat in contemplation while Alland opened the cabin door. Get some rest, John. My men and I are here for you. Must be nice to have some real people around you again. Must have been awfully lonely here by yourself. Thank you for listening to the Finding North podcast. Please follow the podcast on your preferred platform and head over to chrisamorris.com for all the latest. Next week's episode will be a paranormal story called Little Hands.